Have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is without a doubt my most favorite time of the year. My family will tell you this because I repeat it to them often. This calendar time of the year, Thanksgiving to Christmas, there's just nothing like it. I love the traditions. I love the food. I love the weather that it brings. Can I get a witness, Houston, Texas, on this weather? It's been wonderful. And now we've got a college football playoff to look forward to. I won't bring up any teams today. I could say Boomer, I guess. But speaking of traditions, I want to make sure that you come back tonight. This has become a tradition for us here at Champion Forest, our Christmas tree lighting. You see it there on the screen, starts at 6 to 8. This is a faith family event. Invite your friends, people in the community. It's going to be a ton of fun, lots to do with the kids and a lot to eat. And I want to make sure that you're back here this evening on the lawn, 6 o'clock, and it's going to be great. We've already got the Christmas decor going up. Really grateful for the Potter's Wheel, who helps us make the church look beautiful this time of the year. And we're officially kicking off the Christmas season tonight with the Christmas tree lighting. And then you see the stage. We're ready for Christmas Spectacular, which next to Easter is our largest outreach event that we do as a church. And it is an outreach event. I mean, you think Easter, you think Christmas Spectacular, you think Vacation Bible School. From an outreach event to our community, it doesn't get any bigger than these three. And Christmas Spectacular, we added a extra performance this year, and so we're already 60% sold in all of the performances. If you're looking for some good tickets, Tuesday night is where you're probably going to get the best seats. So make sure you go online, not during this service, okay? Not during this service, this afternoon, or right after, go out to the Commons, and we've got our people out there that can help you get tickets. And bring somebody with you. I was talking with someone last week who brought their son last year and ended up giving his life to Christ. And that's why we do what we do. And so don't just come by yourself. Get some tickets, bring people with you, and we, of course, love celebrating the sights and sounds of Christmas, sharing the story of Christmas, and then me or Pastor Ramon will get up. We do two of these shows in Spanish, and we share the gospel as clearly as we can, and we've seen hundreds of people pray to receive Christ, and that is why we do what we do. So thank you for supporting this work, and thank you for praying for the Christmas Spectacular, as our worship team and choir, they are working so very hard to get this ready for the community. But here's what we're going to do today. We're not just going to skip forward to Christmas because we got Thanksgiving first. And that's what this message is about today. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to follow along. The title of the message today is A Thankful Heart. I'm reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. The Bible says this, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us, watch this, will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you. Because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Now, last week I talked to you about the importance of reading a text and knowing the context that surrounds it in order to rightly interpret it and to explain it. If there was a word that could describe the mood or the motivation that Paul is writing this Corinthian church, it would be the word thankful. Allow me to explain. Paul was in debt to the church in Jerusalem. If you recall, this was the church that early on, after Paul was converted on the Damascus Road, he was brought into the church in Jerusalem by Barnabas. He was introduced to the disciples, and it was this Jerusalem church that affirmed God's call on his ministry. It was the Jerusalem church that sent Paul, supported Paul, endorsed Paul and his missionary goal of taking the gospel to the Gentile world. And so Paul loved what we would consider this mother church. It had a very soft place in his heart, and it seems in his ministry that Paul never got over and wanted to help anytime he could this church in Jerusalem. He always wanted to give back to them because he had so much gratitude in his heart for them. And that's kind of the overarching point that I want to make today. I'll put this on the screen. This is the point of the message, that gratitude leads to giving. To say it another way, a grateful heart leads to giving hands. It's thanksgiving. I know many are traveling in this week. Some of your loved ones are coming in town to have Thanksgiving. You may be traveling out of town to Thanksgiving. I remember when I was going to school and I would get up on that Thanksgiving break, and I was so excited for breaks to get here because as a college student, you're finishing up your finals and your tests that you had before you could go on break. And for me, I was always up late the night before cramming, because why plan a whole semester for that? And so I would cram and, you know, barely awake, get in my car to drive home, and I was so excited to be back at mom and dad's, ready for mom. She was cooking that meal. But on the way from Arkadelphia to Bossier City, you couldn't get home without going through Hope, Arkansas. And it didn't matter which way you entered Hope, exited Hope. If you were going through Hope, you would see these huge signs. Couldn't miss them. Hope, Arkansas, the birthplace of President Bill Clinton. I mean, they let you know it. Anywhere you were coming, in or out of Hope, the birthplace of President Bill Clinton. Well, gratitude, a thankful heart, is the birthplace of a giving lifestyle. Paul was so thankful for this church in Jerusalem. It never left his mind, it seems. When he heard there was a famine coming to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 11, he did everything he could to collect an offering to send it back to help in that time of need there in Jerusalem. Or just his Christian heart to serve the poor, which is the context here in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wanted to get an offering together and help the poor that were back in Jerusalem. I want you to remember, the early followers of Jesus, especially at Ground Zero, Jerusalem, when they followed Jesus, what that meant was they were excommunicated from their home. They were disfellowshipped from the temple worship. I mean, they were following the way, the sect of Jesus' followers. And so it cost them to follow Jesus. It cost them in many ways their livelihood, their lifestyle. And so Paul, because of his gratitude toward this church, and because the need of this church was so great, listen to what Paul does. On his third missionary journey, he's traveling around to all of these churches, and he says, I'm taking up an offering, and I'm gonna help this church back in Jerusalem. In fact, Romans 15 speaks of Paul's offering that he's taking. Listen to what it says. At present, however, it'll be on the screen, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia, these are the churches, Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica. He says, these churches, and Achaia, this is the Corinthian church. Look at what he says. They've been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. He says they were pleased to do it. They were indebted to him. They owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in the spiritual blessings, they ought also be of service to them in the material blessings. So in this passage, you get the heart behind why Paul is doing what he's doing. He's saying, Gentile believers, church in Corinth, you owe the believers in Jerusalem. That church in Jerusalem is the one that believed in me.
They sent me out. As a result, I discipled you. I led you to Christ. I put leaders in the churches that are now leading you. You owe them this. Plus, there's great need here. If you're thankful for what's gone on in your life, what God has done, how God has used me, Paul says, if you're thankful, then give back to them. And we see the big point, and we'll return to it throughout our time this morning, and that is gratitude leads to giving. Here's what I love about Paul. He's extremely practical. He doesn't just tell the church to give, doesn't just outline why they should give, which is gratitude, thanksgiving. They're to give because of their need. They're to give because the Jerusalem church, the mother church, it's a Jewish church. Christ came to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. So they wouldn't even be saved if it wasn't for a Jewish savior. So he says, give back to them. That's the why. But then he gets very practical. He says, let me tell you how you should give. And this is really good. It may help you today as you think about your giving. Like, we talk to you all the time about being generous, living with open hands. Maybe you go, what does Scripture say about this? How should I give? Well, Paul, this is what he tells the believers in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He's talking about this offering. Listen to what he says. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do, church in Corinth. Look at what he says. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside to store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So notice the plan. And there should be a plan to give. When we talk about giving, you should be thinking about it. You should be praying about it. Like, what do I give to? Why am I giving? You should be intentional about it. And notice in Paul's admonition, he says on the first day of every week, put something aside, store it up. In other words, we are to give systematically. This is the plan of our giving. We should give on a regular basis. We should give in a systematic way. He then follows up this letter to 1 Corinthians with the 2 Corinthians letter, that passage that we read to start the service. He gives a bit more detail about this plan. That was verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. Look at what he says. The point of this is whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So when we talk about how we should give, our plan of giving, we are to give systematically, regularly. It should be a part of our devotional life to the Lord, our giving. We shouldn't be embarrassed to talk about this as a church. Are you kidding me? Our giving is just as much a part of worship as our singing is, as our praying is, as teaching the Bible is, as our service is. Giving is a spiritual discipline. And so he says, give systematically, regularly. There needs to be a plan. And then he says, give generously. The law of the harvest. That's what this is known as in verse 6. The law of the harvest states three things. One is you reap what you sow. So if you sow apple seeds, you're going to reap apple trees. You reap what you sow. Law of the harvest. That's one. Number two, you reap more than you sow. So you plant a seed, you reap a tree, you get a bushel of apples. It's the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap after you sow. So you sow it, but you don't reap it. I mean, it takes sunshine, it takes rain, it takes time, right? You reap after you sow. Paul would use this law of the harvest talking about living the Christian lifestyle. He says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption and death. If you feed the flesh, your sin nature, you'll reap corruption and death. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life and peace. It is the law of the harvest. And so as it relates to our giving, Paul says, if you sow sparingly, you're gonna reap sparingly. Meaning if you give little, if you're tight-fisted, you will reap little. On the other hand, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. We'll come back to this a little later on toward the end of the message today. It needs to be said, though, that the more gratitude that is in your heart, the greater your giving will be. I'm not talking about the amount. I'm talking about the willingness to give, the desire to give. And that leads me to the next point. Not only should we give systematically, not only should we give generously, but we should give willingly. Look at verse 5 again of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you to arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that you may be ready as a willing gift. Willing, not as an exaction. Verse 7, the first part. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. That's the willing part. You give willingly. Look at what he says. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. When we give, there should be no arm twisting. There should be no emotional manipulation. As a Christian, when you trusted in Christ, God put within you a desire to give. It is there. We just have to nurture it and exercise it like we do any other muscle or gift that we use. And so he says, give systematically, give generously, give willingly, and then look at what he says, give cheerfully. Look at the second part of verse 7. It's right there in the scripture. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you might have heard from previous messages taught on giving that the word cheerful there is where we get our English word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. What does that mean? Commentator Warren Wiersbe put it like this. God loves a glad giver, not a sad giver who gives grudgingly, not a mad giver who simply feels the need to give out of duty. Instead, he loves someone who gives and smiles while they do it. And like really smiles, you know, not one of those fake smiles. I mean, really smiles from the heart. Now I wanna stop right here and I wanna ask a series of questions and make a point. And here's the question I want to ask. Does this kind of giving describe you? I mean, this is a question where you have to look yourself in the mirror as a Christian, as a maturing Christian, and say, does this describe me? Are you giving in a systematic way so that spiritual needs and physical needs are met in our faith community? Do you have a plan to give, or is it just spur of the moment, just when asked, just when moved? Is your giving motivated by guilt or by gratitude? Second question, are you giving in a generous way? Is it like a farmer sowing seed? I mean, if a farmer, he knows he's gonna reap more than he sows. And so you know what he does? He takes those seeds and he scatters them as much as he can. He plants as many seeds as possible because he knows the parable of the sower, that sometimes that seed's gonna fall on hard ground and it's not gonna take. Sometimes the birds of the air are gonna come and they're gonna take that seed away. And so he's gotta plant a lot of seed because he wants to reap as much as possible. Does this describe your giving? Or are you a farmer that's just putting one seed in the ground and praying to God that it grows? See, we need to be generous, casting the seed as far and as wide as possible. Are you giving willingly? Is it something that you want to do? Or are you just doing it out of duty? Are you just tipping God? Like, I need to make sure I tip him because then I'll get good service from him. And we would never say that. But it's just a question. Again, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and judge how you're doing. And we need to do this with every spiritual discipline. Is my worship authentic? Is my service authentic? Is our giving authentic? Are you giving in a cheerful way? Like, God, let's do this, man. I can't wait to see what you do as I sow this financial gift into this kingdom work, into this ministry, into this church. I know it's gonna stretch me, but I believe you're gonna use it, and I'll trust you to meet my needs. I had a professor in seminary who taught evangelism, how to share your faith. And I'll never forget him telling me about he and his wife having a servant evangelism line item in their budget. So over and above their giving, they would give each other a certain amount of money every 2 weeks. And they had a deal in their budget that this money could only be used for servant evangelism, meaning they were going to use it to bless others with no strings attached. And they had one deal with it, that if they used that money and was asked why they did something with that money, they had to explain the answer. For example, they were in a coffee shop. Somebody in front of them was ordering coffee. They had this line item in their budget. They had it set aside. They had it planned. They decided, okay, I'm going to use my money this week to help pay for this cup of coffee. And so they cut in and they say, hey, I'm going to get this cup of coffee today. So the deal was, if they pay for that coffee out of the servant evangelism budget, if that person in front say, no, why are you doing that? They had to answer it. Oh, I'm doing this because my wife and I, we got this thing going on. And we just like to bless others because God's been so good to us. And it's just a way for us to serve and encourage you. And it opens a conversation. And can you imagine the conversations that he and his wife would have after using their servant evangelism budget? It's cheerful giving, the conversations, the needs that were met, the fun that was had as they give. Does this describe your giving? Because this is the type of giving that God approves of. And here's the point when it comes to giving. I want you to notice in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, when Paul was writing about giving toward this offering, he never mentions an amount. He never directs them, give this much, give this percentage. Now, I believe in the principle of the tithe. I do. We teach that around here. We ask our staff to model that around here. We ask our leaders to model that. When you sign up as a member, we ask you to give a tenth of your income. That is a tithe to the work of the church. I believe in it and believe we could teach it scripturally and believe we could teach it from the church historically. But here's what I want you to notice as it relates to giving. Oftentimes, that's what our focus is on. How much should I give? What's the amount? What's the percentage? But as it relates to this context today, it seems that Paul shifts our focus away from the amount, which is what our mindset is typically on. He shifts the focus away from the amount that we give to the amount of gratitude that is in our heart. And it seems what Paul is doing here is living out and teaching that the level of gratitude in our heart for who God is and what he has done in our life, it will be reflected and it will be the driving factor in what we give. In other words, little gratitude leads to little giving. And Paul, he rallied these churches to give as much as they could because he had so much gratitude in his heart to how God had saved him, what God had done in his life, how God had used this Jerusalem church to bless his ministry. The focus was all about what was in his heart. And Paul knew that their level of giving, follow this thought, that their level of giving, which was directly related to the level of gratitude in their heart, reflected their spiritual health and maturity. One who doesn't have an attitude of gratitude, one who is not, think about it, one who is not overflowing as a Christian with a thankful heart. Think about it. If we're not overflowing with thanksgiving today because of who God is in our life, for the blood of Christ, for the forgiveness that he's given, for reconciliation to God, for giving us a spiritual family, all of these blessings. If we're not overwhelmed with thanksgiving, something's missing spiritually. Like it's not adding up. We're not truly appreciating or understanding verse 15, the inexpressible gift of Christ. Gratitude always leads to giving. A grateful heart leads to giving hands. A thankful heart leads to thanksgiving. Paul says, why gratitude? He says, how? Systematically, generously, willingly, cheerfully. And then he shares what our giving does. First, our giving blesses God. You know, when you give, it's an expression of gratitude toward God. It's also an act of trust. And what does God want from us? Trust. It's on nearly every page of Scripture. Trust and entrust, trust and entrust. And when we give, it blesses God. Look at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 9. God is able to make all grace abound to you
so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. See, at the end of the day, people who are tight-fisted, people who hold on, greedy, aren't givers, they can't say God is able and sufficient in all things at all times because they've never trusted him to prove himself that he's sufficient at all times. What pleases God about our giving, again, it's not the amount. The amount of our gift is a reflection of the amount of gratitude in our heart. What pleases the Lord is to trust him enough to say, God, you blessed me so much. You've given me so much. I can't help but be a steward. I can't help but live with open hands. I can't help but express my gratitude by giving to meet needs. And I'll trust you, Lord, to meet my needs on the back end. That is giving that pleases the Lord. This is the kind of giving that God desires. He loves a cheerful giver. Verse 9, right there where it says, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That's a quote from Psalm chapter 112. And it's in the context of a righteous man or woman who fears the Lord. What he says is, a righteous man or woman who fears the Lord distributes freely, gives freely. Giving is a sign that you are righteous, that you have trusted the Lord. And watch this, giving is a sign that you are continually trusting the Lord. And speaking of blessing the Lord, look at what happens when we give. Look at verse 10 and 11. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. God will take care of you. We'll get there in a minute. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce, how does it bless God? It produces thanksgiving to God when we give. So see, it's a cycle. God meets our needs, verse 10. We in turn cheerfully give. We meet the needs of others. We invest in kingdom work. And as a result, as we invest in kingdom work and needs are met, people give thanksgiving up to God. Our giving blesses God. But secondly, our giving blesses others. Look at verse 12 through 14. I mean, we just mentioned how our giving blesses others. Needs are met. But look at verse 12 through 14. For the ministry of this service, notice how giving is described there. It's a service to the Lord. Giving's a ministry to God and to others. It's not only supplying the needs of the saints, it's meeting the needs of others, but it's overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. When we give, it supplies the needs of the saints. You know, as I was writing this sermon, I thought, man, I kind of identify with Paul. In this regard, Paul is begging the church in Corinth to give so that needs can be met. And can I tell you today, I'm up here begging the church in Spring, pleading to give so that needs can be met. This is a spiritual family. And you're being nourished here in the faith. You're being discipled here in the faith. You've got spiritual family and community here. Some of your marriages have been restored here. Some of your spiritual lives, you've been strengthened here. Your families have been brought back together. Some of you have been saved here. And so what Paul does is he says, man, look at the good that the church has done. Let's give back to it. That's exactly what I'm saying to you today. Let's give back to it so that the work can move forward. So that we can do more and more and more and more. Man, I could tell you story after story after story of how your giving is blessing this community. I can talk about how your giving allows our children's ministry to take programming into schools and reach students in schools. I can talk to you about how our student ministry is growing like crazy and they're in the locker rooms and they're up and down the halls. And I can talk to you about our mentor merge ministry and our marriage re-engage ministry. I can talk to you about our developing healthy habits ministry, our grief share, our divorce care, our resume. I can tell you all of these ministries, and that's just inside the church. That's not outside the church. The churches that we're planting, the mission partners that you support when you give, we can plant more churches. We can do more as we give, and that's just inside and outside the church. That doesn't count the future vision that God has given us. I mean, who knows? We've got a campus at North Klein. I believe we've got another campus, maybe two in our future. Who knows? But we can
only do what you give. And there's people to be reached. We're starting a ministry next year called CF Creative. We realize that more and more people are tuning in, obviously, that the medium of the day is media. And we got to get in the game, telling stories of life change, showing what God is doing in a way that people are seeing it today. It takes money to do it. It takes giving to do it. I just want to plead with you to give so that the gospel goes to more and more and more people. When we give, it blesses God, it blesses others, and then third and finally, our giving blesses us. We read verse 6, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Read verse 8, God will make every grace abound to you, provide for every good work. Verse 10 and 11, he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply your seed. You'll be enriched in every way. When we give, God promises to turn the blessing back on us. It's the law of the harvest. You always reap what you sow, more than you sow, after you sow. I can show you verse after verse in the scripture. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. And then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Jesus said, give, and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. We can never outgive God. When we give, God always returns the blessing on us, always. And he will return that blessing. He'll return that blessing. He'll return that blessing, listen. He'll return that blessing. And it may not be in a material way. That shouldn't be the point, shouldn't be the motivation or the emphasis. What he will bless you with, more of his presence, more opportunities to grow in your faith, more opportunities to leverage your faith for Christ. He'll give you added peace, more joy, a greater purpose, and he will come through in ways that you could never ask, think, or imagine. He will. And the blessing we get, verse 14, we give. Thanksgiving goes up to God, and look at what it says, verse 14. People pray for us. And as a result of our giving, God gets more and more thanksgiving and praise. Gratitude always leads to giving. So the question I want to ask you is, do you have a thankful heart? As we move into Thanksgiving this week and as we move into close this service with the Lord's Supper, the reason we're doing the Lord's Supper is because we've been commanded to remember the sacrifice of Christ. And if you have a hard time being thankful, showing gratitude, in just a moment when we receive these elements and you hold them in your hand, you serve your neighbor, all are welcome at the Lord's table who have trusted in him, you're having a hard time with Thanksgiving, you hold those elements in your hand and you think on the bread, which represents the body of Christ broken for us, and you think on the blood that's been poured out, and you think on that long enough, and I promise you, Thanksgiving will begin to well up in your heart.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.